Our second Old Testament story is also a journeying story. This involves Moses. From Exodus 13. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was nearer. For God thought, if the people face war, they may change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people by the roundabout way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of the land of Egypt prepared for battle. And Moses took with him the bones of Joseph, who had required a solemn oath of the Israelites, saying, God will surely take notice of you, and then you must carry my bones with you from here. They set out from Succoth and camped at Etham, on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord went in front of them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them along the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, so that they might travel by night and by day. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. Before I get into the sermon, I want to begin with a shout out to Oral Roberts University. Now I know you must be thinking, who are you and what have you done with our pastor? But let me explain. Traditional Christianity and evangelical Christianity in particular has historically taught that the place we listen for the Word of God is in the Scriptures. One of the hallmarks of Celtic spirituality, however, is that the Word of God can also be heard in and through creation. And that leads to an understanding that the mystery of God is inseparably linked with the mystery of creation. And this is one of the areas that we've been recently emphasizing in this current sermon series dealing with the spirituality of connecting with God. Reconnecting with the earth was the theme of the first sermon in this series last month. And we discussed how we can connect and learn of God, not by looking away from ourselves and away from creation, but rather by searching deep within all that has life. So you can imagine my excitement and my shock when I read in yesterday's religion section of the Tulsa World, hearing God's voice in nature will be the theme of the annual American Scientific Affiliation meeting at Oral Roberts University next weekend. Upon reflection, I have a confession to make. My surprise at ORU hosting the event has less to do with the actual work that goes on at ORU and more to do with my preconceived notions of what goes on at ORU. So I apologize. Now, in recent weeks, we have also explored the connecting with God through a reconnection with compassion and a reconnection with the light, that divine spark that dwells deep within all people. And today's focus is reconnecting with the journey. Have you ever noticed that the Bible is all about the journey? Now, there are specific journeys, like the two that we heard from the Old Testament this morning. We learned that Abraham and Sarah's faithfulness was not based on any set of particular religious beliefs, but rather on their trust in God, to follow where they discerned God was leading them. And after being freed from captivity in Egypt, we learn that the wilderness journey of Moses and the Israelites included the continual presence of God, as poetically described as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. The entirety of Scriptures testifies as a journey toward God, away from God, and a return to God. It's a journey from rebellion to faithfulness, from captivity to freedom, from exile to home. It's a journey from oppression to justice, from fear to peace, from sin to redemption. It is a journey from birth to death, to life beyond this life. You and I are part of this incredible cosmic journey. And perhaps the greatest of all of God's promises found in the scriptures is God's promise to be with us on that journey, and that nothing in all of creation can ever separate us from the love of God. This was eloquently stated by the Reverend Dr. Robert Ball, former pastor at Bristow Presbyterian Church and John Knox Presbyterian Church here in Tulsa, and who is present with us along with his wife, Lorraine, this morning. And in his very important book, which I highly recommend, I really do, I'm not just saying that because he's sitting right there. It's entitled Being With. Maybe This Is What Life Is All About. It was published just last year, and he writes, "After an extended examination of Scripture, I'm convinced that the promise to be with us is the ultimate and most consistent promise the God of the Bible gives to human beings." And he continues, "Both the Hebrew and the Christian scriptures, from beginning to end, are filled with precisely this meaning, and in many instances, these exact words, 'I will be with you.' I'm now convinced that being with represents the essential core of God's ultimate promise to God's people, as well as expressing God's eternal purpose for us." Now, earlier in my own pastoral ministry, I taught confirmation class to church middle schoolers. And we used the curriculum put out by the Presbyterian Church USA, and it was entitled Journeys of Faith. And the overall approach is described as follows. The journey of faith on which Christians embark is not a matter of following the tracks of those who have gone before. The life of faith is better understood as a journey into new territory, in a new time and among new circumstances, yet one guided by the experience of others who journeyed in particular times, places, and settings in the past. Well, I wholeheartedly agree with this approach. For are we not always being nudged on to new horizons and often into the unknown? We, no less than Abraham and Sarah, are often called to leave behind certain old ways of understanding. Abraham and Sarah never knew where the road of life would lead them, but they believed that God was present and active in their lives. And their story reveals to us that a life of faith is grounded in the journey itself, rather than at the arrival of some particular destination. And precisely because our destination in this life is unknown, we have faith. The assurance that God is with us and for us as we travel along this often unpredictable journey. And I like the analogy that life is like being on a journey without maps. Well, there's a fancy word for all of this. Peregrination. First time you've ever heard of peregrination? Well, it was for me just very recently. In his 2014 book, The Rebirthing of God, Christianity's Struggle for New Beginnings, John Philip Newell, a former dean of Iona Abbey in Scotland, writes, "The practice of peregrination was strong in the Celtic world. It often involved setting sail from one's homeland as a pilgrim, from what was known and comfortable into what was unknown and challenging, leaving the familiar in order to experience new birth, dying to the boundaries and securities of home, to be alive to what one had never imagined before. But we too are pilgrims. And I also find this to be an apt description of the journey that many of us have taken from traditional Christianity to progressive Christianity. Who among us here at College Hill hasn't been on an inward pilgrimage and journey where we have left the familiarity and the security of what the church has traditionally taught and sometimes told us to believe to new understandings of God and ourselves? English Benedictine monk Father Bede Griffiths, lived from 1906 to 1993, talked about the fossilization of Western Christianity. As Newell explains, he believed that it had become hardened, stuck both doctrinally and ritually. It was not living and unfolding like the universe, forever seeking new expression and embodiment through relationship. Well, Christianity does indeed get trapped by some in a sense of infallibility and unchanging dogma. But one of the laws of the universe is that if something is not unfolding, it is dying. If it is not reaching out and sprouting in new directions, it is decaying. And perhaps that is becoming true of the religious practices and beliefs in which many of us were raised. And yes, traditional Christianity has a tendency to absolutize our religion. Instead of evolving and viewing it as a road sign to point beyond itself, many now consider it a stop sign, that it is the end, the destination. The lifelong journey, as we inherently know, involves picking up new things along the way in that journey and leaving behind some older things. And last month, upon my return from my faith-invigorating six-week sabbatical, I shared with you the pilgrimage that I took around the small ancient Celtic island of Iona, Scotland. And one of the stops along the way might relate directly to your own journey of life and faith, a journey of connection with God. Now, you may remember me telling you about St. Columba's Bay, where tradition says that Irish monk Columba landed after he journeyed from Ireland to Scotland in the year 563 AD. And it was at this location, before we headed back to our own homeland, where we were asked to consider the turning points in our own life. And I would like to share with you again this morning the guided meditation at St. Columba's Bay. And I encourage you to personalize it in connection with your own journey of life and faith. So at this time, if you wish, you may close your eyes. Picture yourself standing at the rocky shoreline of a beautiful, isolated bay. You're not alone, as others have journeyed with you. As you listen to the crashing surf, reflect upon the things that you feel may be holding you back from making a fresh start, or that weigh you down as you try to journey onward in life. Now pick up one of the smooth, rounded stones on the beach and walk to the waterline. This stone is symbolic of that which you wish to let go of, something you need to leave behind and not take home with you. It could be a particular unhealthy behavior or attitude in your life. It could be an old hurt, grudge, or resentment. It could be a regret or a failure. It could be a particularly unhelpful belief or understanding of the nature and character of God. It could be anything. Now, with all your might, cast this rock into the sea. say to yourself, no more will this prevent my journey into well-being. No more will this prevent my journey into well-being. And as you turn away, pick up a second stone to keep as a sign of a new direction, new beginnings, or new commitment that you hope to move towards. And together, let us begin our return journey home. You can open your eyes. As I shared with you a few weeks ago, I keep it up here for a very important reason. This is the second stone that I picked up from St. Columba's Bay in Iona to remind me of a strong sense of new direction in my own life and ministry. One of my fears that I cast aside was that, fear. Fear of not knowing enough, of not measuring up as your pastor. It may seem like a silly fear, but it's one that many pastors have. And as we've been learning recently, learning to trust that we are loved and accepted as we are, which this congregation does a remarkable job of doing, makes all the difference. And you too are part of this rock, in remembrance for me. As you seek to connect with God, remember that God is always with us as we reconnect with the journey through life and through faith, and thank goodness, often together. Amen.